Did you know that Business Insider says that there are 7 fears that you need to overcome to be truly successful?
I did not know that.
I know. Me either. Well, guess what? I think God teaches us about 2 different kinds of fears. One actually helps us prevail in all things. Today, we're going to learn all about that.
Well, I'm in.
Me too. See you in there.
See ya.
Welcome to the Simple Joyful Home Podcast. Join Emily and Alicia, 2 moms doing their best. This is a podcast about Come Follow Me and the Book of Mormon, and how anything you learn from the scriptures can be transformed into practical and simple solutions to strengthen your home, your relationships, and even yourself. If you're ready to triumph over self-doubt and increase the joy in your heart and in your home, join them on this inspired journey. Take it away, ladies.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
This is Alicia.
And this is Emily. Welcome to Simple Joyful Home. We're so glad you're here. So for this week, it's October 12th through the 18th, and we're reading 3rd Nephi chapters 20 through 26.
And before we get started, let's talk about how amazing conference was. Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. My favorite session. Can you have a favorite? You can, right?
Of course.
Don't judge
you can.
Me. My favorite session was Saturday morning. Loved it.
Yes. I really enjoyed that
with
one as
all
well.
My little heart. I mean, Bednar, I usually like Bednar. He's, you know, an apostle of the Lord. I like his stuff. But this one, loved it.
Yeah.
Loved, loved, loved.
Girl. I like Saturday morning as well, actually. And I like Sunday afternoon.
Nice.
I'm a big Elder Holland fan.
Aw. He is like, I want to hug him when I hear him speak every time. I don't know why. He just comes across as like the most, I've never met him in real life, but like the most compassionate, loving, like he's teddy bear. Can you say that about an apostle? Grandpa. I could feel like good hugging him. I know I could.
Yeah. I think he reaches different emotions.
Yes.
Than typical, I guess. And I also think he comes across very passionate about what he speaks about.
It's true.
He truly believes every word that he says. And I think it reaches people. I think all of them are very passionate about it.
It's true. Yes, I love
that. I actually
that.
Really liked the women's session as well.
Me too. That was
I did like them a lot.
That was one of
I
my
I really liked President Irene's talk.
In the women's session?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
I just felt like, yes, I am a good mom and mother. Anyway, I just love feeling a little boosted.
I know. Conference is all about the boost. Yeah. We love the boost of conference. Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. We're so glad to be back with you.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging in there. We took a week off and we had a few people asking us, where are you? But
we wanted to give you a chance to catch up on conference if you missed part of it. And plus, 10 hours is a lot of listening.
So we wanted to give you a break.
Yeah.
Your ears can only handle so much goodness.
It's true.
And we did not want to distract from that goodness.
That's true. So what are we learning about today? We are learning all about, out of all of these chapters, the thing that stood out to us was 2 scriptures. So the first one was in 3 Nephi chapter 24, verse 16, and the other one was in 3 Nephi chapter 25, verse 2. And both of these scriptures talk about fearing the Lord. And as we read those scriptures, I was like, ugh, fearing the Lord, that has come up before, and there's always a lot of benefits to fearing the Lord, but I've never really understood it. And I've always thought of fear the way we traditionally think of fear, which is, I don't know, like what you hear in the Oxford Dictionary, which is basically like, it's going to be, oh, let me just tell you what it says. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain or a threat. And I think, why would it be a benefit to me to fear the Lord, especially in that way? Do I fear him because I think if I don't do what's right,
he'll punish you, or right?
He's like, going to come down hard on me? And I'm like, that just does not seem like the Heavenly Father that I know. He doesn't seem like that to me. So I always had this kind of dissonance, like this just, I don't know, it just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And then you always hear, like, fear is used a lot in the scriptures. I mean, in our standard works alone, the word fear comes up over 600 times. And 132 of those alone are in the Book of Mormon. So I'm thinking fear is obviously something that the Lord wants us to understand better and to be able to use in a way that benefits us and helps us.
I feel like it's used in a lot of different ways as well. Like fear not, or, you know, don't fear man, fear the Lord, you know, just a lot of those kind of thoughts.
I think so too. And so as we started to study this word, we started to really dig into what fear means. So we already talked about what the dictionary says fear is. And if you look into what the fear of the Lord is, comes up just a little bit different. And I love this. I love that it's so different because we know that there's opposition in all things. And the same thing happens in the definition of fear. We can view fear as that unpleasant emotion that something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, or everyone knows
we're going to be in pain. You know, we all have it. It's true. Or you can view it as this other definition of fear that we learn in the scriptures. And that is, it's a sense of respect, a sense of awe, and a sense of submission. And I thought, oh, okay, so I fear you because I respect you. In my mind, that's still kind of along the lines of, if I don't do what's right, I'm going to get a spanking. You know, like respect. I mean, I don't know. It still was a little bit, I don't know what to do with that. But the more we looked into awe and submission, I love the word submission because that to me is, I get to choose whether I submit. That one is a benefit and I get that one for the most part. But awe, I went looking for words or understanding of the word awe. So when I'm in fear of the Lord, I'm also in awe. And that word awe, if you look that up in a lot of different places, it talks about feelings we get when we are in the presence of something that is vast and something that challenges our understanding of the world. And I'm like, okay, I can wrap my head around that. Like he to me is big and does challenge my understanding of the world, which I like, because sometimes I'm like, this cannot be it. I want you to challenge my understanding of this. I want something better. And so then I also love the idea that awe is produced by something that is grand and extremely powerful. And I thought, okay, that sounds really cool. And I like that when I fear God, it's, I see that you are powerful and you can, man, you can do anything and you can help me understand anything. And all of a sudden, what President Nielsen talked at conference, O Israel, and how that translates to let the Lord prevail, let God prevail in your life, it all starts to make sense. When I am in fear of the Lord and I am hoping to attain those blessings of those who do fear the Lord, I'm in awe of his power. I'm in openness to understanding how he sees the world instead of how I see it. So there's one more thing about awe. There's an auto-tuning company out there called Awe Tuning, AWE Tuning. What caught my attention as I was looking to understand the word awe more was their tagline. And it says, to unlock performance. And I thought, wait a minute. If I understand this definition of fear, what if I applied that to the things that cause me to feel the emotion, that unpleasant emotion of something dangerous or likely to cause pain? Or what if I started seeing those moments as an opportunity to unlock performance, my ability to say, wait a minute, I'm feeling that unpleasant feeling and I know there's opposition in all things. So how do I fear the Lord more than I fear this thing, whatever it is? Instead of respecting whatever it is I'm scared of or is creeping into the back of my mind, the unknowns, whatever.
The what ifs.
Yeah. The could haves, the should haves, all the things, you know? And then how can I use God's fear, like the fear that God placed on this earth to help us prevail instead of Satan's fear? How can I turn this to my favor, to God's favor?
I like how you talked about awe. I almost want to be drawn to things that awe me. Mm-hmm. I want to be close to things. I want to learn from them. It reminds me of, I had this job on campus and there was this boss that was a bit intimidating, a bit rough around the edges to what I was used to. I just came out of high school, lived in a small town, and I went to college and I got this job on the Utah State landscaping crew. And this boss was known for his high quality work. Like, he did really, really well taking care of the lands for years. And I was so lucky to be put on his crew. And I remember the first few days being really nervous, making sure I got every single weed pulled or trimmed the bushes like perfectly. And because he intimidated me a little bit. But then after I sat there and I started learning, and he loved to teach his employees how to do the work. So he would spend the time and just say, this is how you prune a tree and why you prune a tree. Or this is, you know, these are reasons why we have jobs. Look how lucky we are to work here. Like, let's list 100 reasons why we work besides earning money. Yeah. I mean, he just spent the time. He was so, and in the end, he ended up being probably one of the most influential people in my life. And I cherish all of those days working with him. And it came to where I was like so drawn to him. I was so in awe with everything that he came. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to be a sponge to his knowledge. And I just wanted to be there and learn and to grow. And he became someone I really respected. And if he were to teach me anything today, I would hold it down as like great knowledge that I have. And I think about that as how my definition of what I was nervous about or feared about was, is he going to be nice? Am I going to be really scared working to him? To this different sort of, I guess you could say, fear of just awe and respect and love and what I could potentially do from what he teaches me. So if I apply this to Heavenly Father and this thought on prevailing and letting him prevail in my life or to unlock performance, If I'm in fear of God, like, what are the possibilities of that I could have, the performance I could have? And I even think sometimes you could be a little bit nervous on some of the things that you may enter in. What if you're like struggling with tithing? You know, take that. You're nervous about that commitment, the sacrifice, but then also it's a way you turn to Heavenly Father, right? And what if we're just kind of nervous of like, that could unlock so much potential in your life? Because all of a sudden you are now fearing God, or you're respecting and you're in awe of what he can do for you, mm-hmm. and holding it over the fear of whatever's holding you back, you know?
And that is such a good example, because I think those scriptures were in this reading as well. This is in 3 Nephi chapter 24, verses 8 through, I don't know, 10. It says, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? And he goes on to talk about tithing, and he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And then he goes on to say that he'll be able to pour you out blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And at that next scripture where he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I mean, that's awe. That's like, you can really do that. Pour me out more blessings than I can handle, really. That's really cool that he can do that. In Business Insider, they did a story where they said the 7 most common fears that hold people back from truly being successful. And one of them is poverty. And when you think about tithing, sometimes when we pay tithing, we're stretched really, really thin. And we think, if I pay my tithing, I don't know how I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Something's holding us back that says, I won't have enough. And God is saying, not only will you have enough, you will have more than enough. And sometimes it comes in ways that doesn't make sense, because he's trying to challenge our understanding of the world as Satan has created it, really, which is money is just paper with a guy's face on it. And we give it meaning, right? And yeah. God is saying, let me help you give it meaning. Meaning that will make a bigger difference in your life. Meaning that will make you feel your life is full of abundance rather than it will never be enough. I don't have enough. And it changes your whole mindset when you start to respect and be in awe of and submit to him rather than feel that fear that comes from Satan, that is, this is dangerous. If I give you this, then I can't survive.
Oh yeah, even fed by logic of like the numbers just don't add up.
Yeah.
How is this possible that I can give this much and survive? Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a hard road. That's a tough one for a lot of people, I think, because I don't, yeah.
When we think about which fear am I going to follow, right? Am I going to follow the awe and the respect and the submission? Because we get to choose which fear we follow. And that truly does unlock our performance. It unlocks the opportunities that come ahead. And we start to see his power. And he is powerful.
I feel like the biggest message in conference was that God has, he will prevail. It's basically like this. If you put our energy and effort into this, into him, then that's where we're choosing to where we can let go of those what ifs and I don't know what's going to happen and really have that hope and faith into him. He really does take care of us. And it's like a breath of fresh air. You can just breathe in.
That's true. There's different kinds of fear, like fear in paying tithing, fear that you won't have enough. We've talked a little bit about that.
Even just trying something new, you know, just like fear of performance, you know, things like that.
Yeah. And I think there are like real fears where if something happens and your heart is pounding and you are literally scared for the safety of your family or yourself.
And fear in that is really important, isn't it? Like a core emotion.
Oh yeah. And it will save your life. Run, run from the bear.
Like we're right. That emotion to help us as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And can I turn that fear into a different kind of fear? Can I exchange it? Can I say, hey, this fear is overcoming me. My heart is pounding. I'm going to throw up. I'm so freaked out. And how, and I don't know what to do to protect my family or whatever it may be, or my health, all the different things that make us feel that panic and that scare. How can I exchange that physical, just uncontrolled fear for fear of the Lord? Can I let the Lord prevail? Can I use fear, like the Lord's kind of fear of the Lord, that respect and awe and submission to the Lord in those times? And I think of a time when we were living in our home and we had some struggling neighbors. They were
That's nice you say struggling.
There was a lot of drug issues and just a lot of scary things happening there. I couldn't let my kids play outside without worrying about them. I had to be with them all the time, which I'm kind of one of those moms anyway. Let's be honest. If they're in the backyard, okay, but I'm just kind of one of those. So don't judge me. Please don't judge
me. There's no judgment here.
Right.
This is Emily's a judgment-free zone.
My kids are free.
My kids could use a mom like you.
She's going to talk about that later. So anyway, it was just one of those moments where like the police were there all the time and I don't know, crazy things were happening at my mailbox in the dead of the night. It was weird, people. And I was scared. I was nervous to be there home alone with my kids all day. And I remember one day there was some really sketchy things happening at the mailbox at my house. And the cops came and they arrested the guy that was out there and they said, yeah, he is definitely dealing drugs, but we're going to let him go because we think there's something much bigger happening. So we need to be able to watch what he's doing. This was a while ago, so it's safe to say now.
Yeah, they've moved on.
Yeah, they moved on a while ago. And so he said, we need to watch what they're doing. Now, if that does not breed confidence, I don't know what does, friends. I was like, you're going to what?
You've just confirmed all my right? fears. Thank you.
I know what's happening. I can tell you, like, I watch it out my back window. Please help me. So that happened that day. And then that night, my little girl, I mean, she was still really young at this point, and she was crying. I mean, you guys know she's not a good sleeper. Never been a good sleeper, but she doesn't cry all night, right? She just doesn't sleep. And so this night she was crying and crying and crying and she just would not stop. And I would go in, I would console her and then she would cry and cry and cry and cry. And I'm like, something's wrong. This isn't, you know, moms, you know your mom, you know your kids cry, right? You're like, this isn't a normal cry. This isn't like my ear hurts. Something feels really off to me. So in true mom fashion, I open the window. Who does that? It's like 2 a.m., friends.
I look out the window at night.
You do? Yes. I have never done this before. I look out the window. I had never done that before. Really? And across the street, staring at my house, is this guy in his pajamas.
Just staring
at my house.
That's creepy.
And I'm like, oh, Seth. And he like comes in and I'm like, there is a guy staring at our house in his pajamas. No wonder she's crying. I freaked out. Like, are my kids safe? I'm checking all the window locks. I'm checking the doors again. I'm doing all the things. I'm like, Seth, we need security and we need cameras. We need all the things. And he's like, okay, Alicia. Okay. So then I am sitting there and I don't know what Seth is doing at this point because we're both so shocked that he's even out there. Granted, I have the earlier days, less than 12 hours earlier, arrest in front of my house. So I'm thinking, these people are just coming from everywhere. And so then, so I remember just thinking, there is nothing I can do about that. But I can pray to have Heavenly Father protect my home. And so I remember sitting with my little girl and holding her. At this point, we know what's going on. Like, and surprisingly, she calmed down. I don't think she slept, but she didn't cry anymore. She was fine. I just remember praying and just such a sincere prayer. Like, Heavenly Father, please protect our home. Please watch over my family. Please make sure that it's a secure place for us to be, that no one can get in. I was very specific in my prayers. And please, like, make this an unsavory place for them to want to be. Make this just, like, they don't even want to come here. You know, and I just was really detailed in my prayers and remember praying with her. I didn't do it out loud. I just, in my head, just that like super sincere prayer. And I just felt like, okay, that's all I can do. And it'll be what it's going to be. But if anybody can do something about it, he can, right? Like, I could find enough peace and calm to still progress in life and still not let it paralyze me. Where really
normally it probably would.
Oh yeah, it's hard enough when I'm like letting the Lord prevail and being like, please just take care of them, and trying to exchange that fear, that real fear of safety, and for like, he's got my back. Once I've done all I can do, if I turn the rest over to him, he will take care of us. I mean, and that taking care of, that blessing of, you know, comfort and peace comes in a lot of different ways. And sometimes it doesn't mean that we're all safe. You know, sometimes it means that bad things happen to good people. But I believe that those bad things are still like, he is in charge of all things when we turn to him. And I think he can help us with that. And that's probably the most standout experience I've had with exchanging that just heart palpitating, like, I am Oxford Dictionary scared, friends, with, I am going to turn to fear of the Lord, which is, I'm going to respect him. I'm going to be in awe of his power, and I'm going to submit to him. Like, what do you need me to do, God? If you need me to call the cops, I'm calling the cops, right? Like, of course, that would normally be on the forefront of my mind, but that night,
it wasn't the time to do it. Because that is definitely a drastic contrast.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, to someone who does worry, mm-hmm. you know, and that is a concern, especially when your family and your kids.
Yeah. I am a little bit of a worrier sometimes.
And that's fine. I need to be more of a worrier. Like, that is a concern of mine.
Hey, if you guys want to hear a good contrasting story to this, like, there are times when you like have what we just saw, exchanging the Oxford Dictionary for the fear of the Lord, like we just heard. And then there are times where you have the fear of the Lord already and other people look at you like you're crazy. They're wait a minute, why isn't this making you more scared? Why aren't you like panicking and running and doing all the things? And Emily is awesome at this.
So having 5 boys, your level of fear just is really low because of how many times they instill fear in you, and you're like, there's just no.
I have to submit. I have to turn it over.
I don't know what it is, but boys just tend to push those lines sometimes. And I just remember, I didn't realize I was so, I don't know, I'm not immune to fear, but my level of fear is just, I just don't did it with my kids, which is why I probably need more of it. Anyway, but I remember noticing of this of myself was when I was standing out with, and I had two neighbors with me. My boys were down this pathway, and one of the boys fell off this little retaining wall thing. And I mean, guys, it was like a couple feet. Okay, that sounds like a lot more. It was like a foot off the ground. Okay.
It's okay if it was 2 feet, Emily. We won't judge you.
It was a couple inches. Anyway, but the boy had fallen off and he started crying. And I just stood there and I was like, he's fine. But the other moms, especially one, was like, I didn't even know where she went. She was dashing down the sidewalk, running as fast as she could to like pick up my boy, come for him. And I was like, oh, huh. How come I didn't even move? I just knew he was okay. I knew the cry he was making, and I'd seen like how he had fallen, and I was like, he's fine. Anyway, but I think it's when you know your children so much, you know how they act, and you know when to be concerned, and you know when to let go. And I think that just comes with experience over the years of, for me, raising these five boys. And so when you go through life and you come across like things that make you scared, and you keep coming across them, or different things, and you battle, and the more you turn over to the Lord, I think the easier it becomes again and again. I guess what I'm trying to say is that over time, if you keep trying to turn things over to the Lord, you get better at it, to where you will be the one standing while others may be fleeing. Mm-hmm. And I am actually very grateful for those ladies who went and comforted my kids,
but he was okay.
He really was okay.
Right.
But like, it was a good
realization. She had a good mommy radar for the cry. He was fine.
Maybe I better be more concerned. No, but I do think you get better at letting go of the fear that makes you feel so paralyzed in your actions, to a fear that makes you want to try and to keep going and have momentum and unlocking your potential.
In conference this past weekend, I think some of the things that they talked about there was about preparation. When we do prepare ourselves spiritually, physically, financially, all of those ways, the best we can, then we can have those moments where others are running and we're like, it's okay. I'm going to be okay. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
And we can have confidence and peace in that, when it does not make any sense that we would feel that way.
And I think with my kids, I know that they are perceptive to my fear and action. So maybe that's one of the reasons why I've learned to just stay calm in situations where there is a fall, is that they are coming to me for that comfort. And so if I'm hyped up and freaking out, they all of a sudden are now, it's spreading. But I also think it can spread the other way, where if you are calm in that moment where others may be fleeing, they can look at you and be like, oh, maybe it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And with our families, with our spouses, with our people around us, the loved ones, if we can choose that calming influence of the Lord, then we can then help spread it to others as well.
God has learned how to be calm in all of these situations, which he said was why I think he says, call on me first, respect me, be in awe of me, like submit to me, because I've got this. We've got this.
I have the calming influence that you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got this. I mean, I heard once in a fireside, and it always really stuck with me, that the job of a mother is to say, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Because even if it's rocky and you're putting your seatbelt on, like Resident Nielsen says, it's going to be a bumpy road. It's all going to be okay. It really is. Because just like he said, like, we know the outcome. We know whose side we're on. And he is powerful. I loved that, because I loved what that meant for me as a mother. Like, I don't have to have all the answers. I just have to be able to say, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And you're loved. And there is a hug right here waiting for you. Always. Yeah. And I think God is doing the same thing. Like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just do your best. And I love you. And there's a hug waiting right here for you.
Yeah.
Just hold still enough. Power down all your electronics. Just hold still and let me hold you for a second.
You know, it reminds me of President Nielsen's talk. I think this was the women's conference where he's like telling us we have the power to instill hope all over the world because we have the numbers, we have the strength. And if you think about when someone maybe shares or talks about something fearful, they almost want to bring you to that fear with them. And then it builds on that. They want to build or they're confused or whatever. But if you were to tell them, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
And they're like, what about this? What about this? It's all going to be okay. It's going to work out. It's almost like you can't feed it.
You almost start to question your fear.
Yes.
Your Oxford Dictionary fear. Yes. You start to question it. You're like, wait a minute. Why does she keep saying it's going to be okay? Over and over. Like, and she looks like she really means it.
Yeah.
Like you do. You start
and you may
to
not have wonder. The answers of why, but it's because the Lord has the answers.
That's so true.
And if you have that strength in Him, then it opens up the Spirit to be with them and help them.
There are so many blessings that come from having fear of the Lord. Like if you want to read more about the blessings that come from exchanging your Oxford Dictionary fear for that new definition of fear of do I respect it? Am I in awe of it? And am I submitting to it? And is it what you should be fearing or should you be fearing God? And if you want to learn more of the blessings that come from that, just a couple of things you can go check out. 3 Nephi chapter 22, verses 13 through 17. It talks all about what the heritage of a servant of the Lord is. So if you want to know, you're servants of the Lord, right?
Yep.
Yeah. If you want to know what your heritage is, go check it out. It is amazing. I loved it. Loved it. So go check it out. There's a whole lot more you can find in these chapters, but we'll let you discover those for yourself.
We hope you guys have a different perspective of what fear is or fearing the Lord is. And we want to leave you with one scripture, and it's in Isaiah. And it says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. But this is what we want to change. Instead of saying, O Israel, remember how in conference we learned that Israel means let the Lord prevail. So we want to switch this out. Now listen to it as I read it. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O let the Lord prevail. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. We love that word prevail, and it has such a neat meaning when you put it in the context of how we learn today about fearing the Lord.
Prevail has a couple different meanings, but the one we love is to be the strongest influence or element. So as you read that scripture, oh, let the Lord be the strongest influence. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine.
I know that when we let the Lord prevail and we choose him, that we will have the strength to overcome any challenge that we may be facing. And we have the strength to help others as well, because his is never ending and it's always there because it is prevailing over everything. And we just want to leave this testimony with you guys and hope you enjoyed this episode.
And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
We hope you feel welcome and a part of our family here at Simple Joyful Home. As we grow, we think of the places you live and the challenges you face. We think of your constant efforts and your kind hearts. We are blessed to have you with us, and we hope every time you join us, you leave feeling a little stronger, a little more hopeful, and a little more prepared to connect with those you love.
And remember, if you liked what you hear, please share it with those you think will benefit. Our focus is our families and our home, so we choose to spend time, well, limited time, in social media to ensure we have a well-balanced life. We need your help to reach others who would enjoy learning what we talk about here on Simple Joyful Home. We are grateful for you, and thank you so much for listening.
Hello, hello. This is Alicia.
Well, hello, Alicia. This is Emily.
Hi.
So happy to meet you.
You
too. This is not starting out well. Okay, let's do that again.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy.
Let's just start. The clean cut, Alicia.
What's wrong with this? Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, hold on.